I think that even coming to these summits, what I really appreciate is just all the people from different backgrounds. Like, I drugged myself out of bed, I went to the gym, and there's people in there that are amputees, and they're in wheelchairs, and they're all just, you know, they got that self-love going on. They're like, I'm worth it, I'm worth showing up, I'm worth work on this body. And I think it makes you grateful for what you do have, even when your mental stuff is kind of all out of whack. You're like, I can go and tackle a hill. And there's something about that that kind of balances out all of the things when we think everything's happening to us, right, instead of for us.
It's easy to talk about the successes, but what doesn't get talked about enough is the struggle. My name is Eric Weinmayer. I've gotten the chance to ascend Mount Everest, to climb the tallest mountain in every continent, to kayak the Grand Canyon, and I happen to be blind. It's been a struggle to live what I call a no-barriers life, to define it, to push the parameters of what it means. And part of the equation is diving into the learning process and trying to illuminate the universal elements that exist along the way. And that unexplored terrain between those dark places we find ourselves in the summit exists a map. That map, that way forward, is what we call no barriers.
Today, we have a special episode for you. We're sharing some one-on-one interviews with No Barriers Summit participants from this past June at Lake Tahoe. Our host, Jeff Evans, took a man-on-the-street approach and got firsthand accounts from many folks to talk about their personal experience. He spoke with veterans, teachers, coaches, parents, and many more people who were taking part in different activities to get their feedback and their personal takeaways. The No Barriers Summit is for people from all walks of life with all types of challenges, whether physical, mental, or invisible. The summit experience is as diverse as the people who attend, and we wanted to showcase these individual testimonies. Our next No Barriers Summit takes place in San Francisco, September 2020, and we hope to see you there. Check out nobarriersusa.org to sign up and for updates.
All right, so we're up on the pavilion right now in front of climbing walls and stages and theaters and all kinds of stuff. And everybody's just kind of rolled in for a little bit of a lunch break in between activities. And I've got Linnell here, who just finished the amazing race. And we're patiently and breathlessly waiting to see whether her team won. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. So, hi, Linnell. I'm Jeff.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So, this is your first time at the summit?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. Yeah.
And then tell me why you're here. Like, what brought you here?
Just looking for a place to where I could be around other people like myself and, you know, just try to connect with people I've kind of, like, been, I guess, not wanting to be around people due to, you know, my disability or whatever. And this is just a place where I can be myself.
Mm-hmm. Has there been a fair bit of time between your experience in the service and being able to find a community to be able to connect with again?
Yeah, about 20 years, actually.
20 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
20 years. So what branch of the service were you in?
Army.
Army. So in the Army, and for the past 20 years, where, I mean, your road has taken you many different directions, I'm sure. Give me a sense of how you ended up here at this point, and how did you get connected to the Warriors program?
How I ended up at this point was probably about 3 years ago. My grandfather became ill, and I just kind of like had that mental break and ended up in and out of the hospital on a ton of meds and things like that, and just couldn't connect with anybody anywhere. And then a friend had told me about the various program, and I was like, okay, well, I'll try it. I don't know, you know, we'll see. I don't know if I want to be around a whole bunch of people, but you know, I got here yesterday, and thus far it's been great. I've been able to be myself, and I just, you know, I want to do it again.
Is this your first No Barriers experience?
Yes, my very first one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what's in store for you in the future with the Warriors programs? Like, you're doing something, aren't you?
Yeah, hopefully I can do like the educators part of it. Mm-hmm. So I am a special educator, and I was looking at, you know, the different programs that Barriers has, and I'm hoping to probably do that educators aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And are you are you an outdoors person, like naturally? Does that come natural to you? Is it something you do on your own time, or is this sort of an introduction into a new realm for you?
Kind of a new realm. Yeah. I do a lot of working out and running and things like that, but like doing, you know, the hiking and the water and everything else. I mean, it's just something new to me, but I love it. I really love it.
So, all right. So this is only day one. Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot in front of you.
Yeah.
So based on what you know, the amazing race today, and then you've got some things this afternoon, and then tomorrow is the Via Ferrata, right?
Right.
So that's happening tomorrow. Do you even know what that is?
I have no earthly idea.
Do you want to know?
Yes, I do.
You do. I'm not going to tell you because I want it to be an absolute surprise for you.
All right.
Because let's just say, how are you with exposure? You know, like looking down from below, from up high and looking down at your feet and seeing a lot of space.
I'm all right with that, but if the ground is perfectly safe, why leave it?
Well, you're going to have to face that philosophical question tomorrow, Linnell.
Right, right.
Well, I'm excited to meet you. And, oh, we're about to get the answer. Let's walk over. Come on. Come on. Let's walk over. We're about to get the results of the amazing race. All right. So I'm still on the pavilion here. Who won the amazing race? Do we know? Did we get a sense of it? Team six. Is that a Warriors team or no?
No.
No.
No. No. High schoolers?
Yeah.
Blasphemy. Yeah. I'm calling. I think the fix was in. So anyway, we're here. And I've got three of the Warriors team here that just finished the amazing race. Although they were not victorious, they do look pretty satisfied with their efforts. So I'm going to get some names around the horn.
I'm Dejan.
Dejan.
Farrell.
Farrell.
Yep.
Jason Stewart.
Jason Stewart.
And I'm Blake Vanosik.
Blake Vanosik. Okay. Vanosik?
Vanosik.
Vanosik. Very good. All right. So you guys have been to a No Barriers event before? Have you been to a Warriors event? You have?
Yes.
Which one did you
go? Base camp in Red Feather Lake area, Colorado.
When was that, last year?
I did it 3 years ago.
3 years?
July.
And so what's been going on the past 3 years?
Oh, man. So that was right after I left the military. I had just gotten out 6 months prior to that. And since then, been a civilian, started my own business, and I also started a nonprofit helping veterans choose meditation over medication.
Has it all been going smoothly as possible? As you expected it?
Yeah, there's challenges, you know, there's funding and there's all of that. But the cool thing is there's a lot of people interested in holistic healing modalities. So that always keeps the ball rolling forward.
All right, so why the 3 year gap and then why are you here now?
It's, you know, it's lonely out there. And I think that coming to events like this, it reminds you of why you're doing it, but it also helps you find your battle buddies. And we look out for each other. We keep each other going. And so it's just kind of good to come back together and re-engage, link arms, and go back out into the world.
Nice. And you did that today.
Yes.
And you're going to do it again tomorrow and then the next day and then the next day, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Exciting. All right. Talk to me, bro. Oh, is this your first event?
This is not. This is my first summit. My first expedition with No Barriers was last year in June. Mm-hmm. We did a 5 or 6 day backcountry to Ruby Jewel Lake in Colorado.
Awesome. Right?
So we did a summit of Clark's Peak, and then there's some no-named ones there as well.
Yeah.
Which was great. We got still keeping up with some of the members of that team to this day. Actually, yeah. I just got a message from one.
Nice.
And it kind of just got the ball rolling for me. At that time was really when I just started getting my feet under my body and actually able to move them.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some injuries that were in the past where I wasn't sure I was ever going to be able to hike again. And then plus the Marines throw 70 pounds on our back and force march you, and you just, if you talk to a lot of Marines, they're not into hiking. That's not our thing so much. And you guys definitely changed that and put me on summits, and I've been chasing them ever since.
You've told me offline that you're going to go do Baker in September. All three of you are. We're going to meet our third teammate here in a minute. And then you may even stick around a little bit because it turns out you like to go suffer on hills, right? So you're thinking about Rainier as well?
Yes, I am. We got a friend of mine, Aaron, and then Katie. She's going to be flying out behind us and staying with my grandfather. We got some places, and we're going to try to tackle Rainier.
So clearly you're a little bit not right.
No.
Welcome to the Not Right Club, right? Yeah, I like it.
Yes.
Yeah, you like to knuckle down and take it on the chin. I mean, that's mountaineering, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right, who else do we have?
Jason Stewart.
All right, so Jason, you've been around for a little while, right, in the program. You've done another program before. What's the history here?
I did the base camp last year in Colorado, Squaw Lake.
Yeah. And then what was that like for you? I mean, was that a good event? Was it hard? Was it easy?
I think for me it was hard mentally. I was just coming off a hospital stay and stuff, and my medications and everything were kind of out of whack. So it was difficult for me in that way, just because I had a hard time opening up and expressing myself.
So in the past year, what's the journey been like for you in the past year leading up to today?
It's been a bit of a struggle. I got my medications right, and they've helped me out at the VA and everything, and I'm just trying to get back on track.
But do you feel like being at this summit right now is probably a part of this process of you sort of recalibrating and getting things sort of back to where they should be?
Yeah, I think so. It's helping me kind of define on what direction to go and with my pledge and everything.
You told me offline that you've had to you're kind of redoing your pledge, right? And I know that probably is an indicator of a lot of things that are going on, because in a way, the way we designed the pledge back in the day was to say, listen, this is something that this is your intention. And as we evolve, our intentions change. And it sounds like your original intention, just as you have evolved in the past year. Is that accurate? And are you ruminating on that? Are you thinking about that kind of stuff these days?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, I spent 12 years in the military. I kind of did it backwards. I served 6 years in the reserves, and then I served 6 active. So I think a lot of it for me with No Barriers, Warriors, is it kind of brings me into a group of people that can kind of help support and understand kind of what I'm going through and what I'm facing. And I think for me that's probably going to help out in kind of redefining my pledge and stepping into the future.
I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you. You guys, obviously, I mean, I kind of alluded to it with you, but, you know, you enjoy being outside and you enjoy knuckling down and having hard days. Yeah. Hard days are what make life easier. That's the way I always kind of see it, right? Hard days make it easier.
There's some type of adversity and some type of conflict, and it really kind of helps with me if I don't have that conflict with myself through physical stimulus or mental stimulus. My mind finds conflict with myself, and I've also get external motivators from people that see me doing this stuff and say, hey, that motivates me. Keep nice. Putting it out there, keep putting pictures, keep telling me what you're doing, and that keeps me motivated and doing it for those people who cannot. Yeah. And it just keeps me stepping, man.
Yeah, because people are counting on you for inspiration now. That's a good place to be. Yeah,
I'm the same. I think that even coming to these summits, what I really appreciate is not only do we get to meet other warriors, but just all the people from different backgrounds. Like, I drug myself out of bed. I went to the gym, and there's people in there that are amputees, and they're in wheelchairs, and they're all just, you know, they got that self-love going on. They're like, I'm worth it. I'm worth showing up. I'm worth work on this body. And I think it makes you grateful for what you do have, even when your mental stuff is kind of all out of whack. You're like, I can go and tackle a hill. Like, and there's something about that that kind of balances out all of the things when we think everything's happening to us, right, instead of for us.
Yeah. Amazing. I'm glad I ran into you guys, all of you, all three of you. I'm grateful for you. Yeah, well, my pleasure. It's a group effort, but I'm grateful to all of you and everything that you've done and everything you're going to do. So, cheers. All right, so we just wrapped up the improv. Is that what we're calling it? We call it improv? So it was like improv exercise. And I'm with?
Dwayne Crowder.
And Dwayne's from Georgia. And Dwayne and I were just with a group of, I'd say, probably 12 people. And I don't know about you, but I mean, I didn't know what I was getting into. I think just the word improv just maybe gives you a brief explanation that we're going to be doing some sort of acting thing. But what was your take on it before you even rolled in here?
Well, before I walked in, I, like you said, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know who was going to be in the room. I didn't know what situation was going to get thrown at us, and I just didn't really know, you know, how I was going to react to it. So,
But then, I mean, I feel like the facilitators kind of queued us all up and made us sort of start at the bottom, right, and then build each exercise was building on the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that helped with me being a coach. You know, that's kind of how I do with my players. Mm-hmm. We start from the bottom, we build up. Mm-hmm. So. the facilitators here made us real comfortable by starting us off simple, kind of breaking the ice, and then made us comfortable with each other. You know, we really wasn't looking at the people in the room, you know, just like, we're in here to have a good time now. Yeah. You know, so.
And I don't know about you, but I mean, it required us to just sort of be open and receptive and like fluid. Like the whole thing was just this, you had to adapt to what the other person was saying, which is a skill, right? Like it's a life skill. And as a coach, right? So what do you coach?
I coach football and baseball.
Football and baseball. So you're talking about like building young men and, and turning them into, you know, citizens, right? And so you're building on each thing, right?
Right. And, you know, you're put in different situations. You know, you come into a game, you got your game plan. Okay, I'm going to play this person. We're going to do this. And then the lights go out. Now what do? You know, or this kid gets hurt, or the national anthem doesn't work, or the umpires are not there. So, you know, that's kind of a way of improvising, because now you got to say, okay, what do we do now? Right. This kid's hurt. Now I got to play this kid. Well, I wasn't planning to play this kid because he's not any good, you know. But now.
But you're forced to.
Yeah, now I'm forced to. Now that puts it back on me. Have I coached him up well enough? Uh-huh. You know, so.
Right. So there's vestiges of this as you're going to, like, at least it'll be sitting back there in the back of your mind, like ways you can bring it to your boys, right? Right. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Dwayne. That's appreciate awesome, man.
It. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, so we just wrapped up Mandy Harvey's workshop, which was utterly amazing on so many levels, like physical level, auditory level, visual level, like so much of it. And Andrew's here with me. Andrew, what's your last name, Andrew?
Heinerfeld.
Heinerfeld, and you live in Fort Collins, right?
I do.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was your experience like? It could take me an hour to try and put this into words, but give me your synopsis real quick.
Well, I think it's another opportunity here at this summit to experience something in a new way, a new and profound way, and definitely widen my ability to empathize and just expand my personal horizons and perspectives of different ways that people perceive their world, that enables me to also expand my own unique way of perceiving a situation. And I love music, and so now I have a whole nother way to focus on something that I love.
Well, give me a quick synopsis on what was it that Mandy, what were the tools that Mandy used here, and what did you take away from just listening to her and how she interprets music?
I guess it's learning to take in music more tactfully. Mm-hmm. And also to be sensitive to vibrations of music in a new way. And for me, it actually made me think about meditation, which is something that I do, but another great benefit about meditation, because it enables us to be more grounded within ourselves. And so with something like music and how she perceives music, if you can remove a lot of other distractions, but then be able to feel the subtle vibrations of music, it's like, wow, it's like all of a sudden you have another whole conduit to take in something that you already love.
True story. Like, that's another sort of layer of meditation, right?
It is.
Because you're trying to block out the external and allow yourself to be centered on this moment, this thing that's happening, that's passing through you, right?
Yeah.
So I heard you say you work with autistic kids, right? Yeah. So you mentioned it right on the outset. This is going to give you another tool or an ability to be able to sort of change your methodology, maybe, and how you reach them. Give me a sense of what that means.
Well, one thing I love to do with my students is we do a weekly drum circle with them. And so one thing that I already have them do is often close their eyes when we're playing drums, and so they can heighten their sense of hearing. But I already made me think, what can I set up in my room to enhance the tactile vibrational aspects of it? And then I really want to find out more about that cool app she was talking about with the vest, or that to where the kids could potentially feel those vibrations a lot more profoundly when they're listening to music as well?
So one of my very best friends is an ASL interpreter, and she does it for music on stage. And one of the things she talks about is that vest and that whole program. But she said the poor man's version of that is a big balloon. A big balloon, and holding that balloon on your chest with your arms.
Yeah.
But getting some big ones, you know,
sure.
And blowing it up, and then just getting close to the speaker and allowing it to feel, and just hopefully the kids won't pop the balloons.
Yeah. But, or know. I was even thinking, I want to try it because we have several of those yoga balls in our school. So to just experiment having them sit on that while we're playing music together, and so for them to see that. But again, and I was thinking it's just as important for educators for us to heighten our sensitivity of other people's needs and how other people perceive things differently, that in order to be a good educator, you have to really remove your own biases and your own ways of interpreting things to better understand how somebody else is interpreting.
Thanks, Andrew. Let's get going here. So I am here with Megan. And Megan, would you care to tell me what your last name is?
Kalalau.
Okay. I'm not even going to try to say that because it's beautiful, but it's really complicated. So Megan and I were part of the Mandy Harvey workshop this morning, and how would you describe that workshop, Megan? Tell me how you would describe what we did in that workshop.
Amazing.
Yeah, what did we do? Like, what kind of things did we do while we were in there?
She taught us how to feel the music.
Feel it. We should feel the music, right? Like, not listen, but feel it. Had you ever done that before?
No.
And were you feeling it throughout your whole body? Was it going into your chest, into your face, into your skin? Like, where was it? Was it everywhere? Like, where was it hitting you?
I was feeling it in my hands a little.
Your hands. All right. So, So let's just back up a little bit. So you are a REACH scholarship recipient. Is that right?
Yes.
When did you find out that you got that award? And tell me what that award did. Like, what did it do for you?
It helped me to realize that there's no barrier that I can't complete.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and something that happened that was really special is after Mandy's workshop, how did it happen? Did you go up to Mandy and say, I'd like to sing a song with you?
No, actually it happened because Daniel asked her.
What did Daniel ask her?
Daniel asked her if I could
sing a song
with her.
Did you have a song picked out that you wanted to do?
No.
No. Well then, what was the song you sang?
Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the Eyes of My Heart. So you knew that song, she knew that song, and you said, let's just do it together?
Yes.
Fantastic. I tell you what, Megan, like you made me cry. Yes, you did. I was trying not to. Yes, you made me cry because it was so beautiful. What you were doing was so beautiful. Between you and Mandy and the conversation that you had musically was really, really special. And you looked like you just had this look on your face that you were so in tune with what you were feeling and what you were singing and how you were communicating with Mandy. Does that sound about right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was very, very special. Well, hey, are you having fun? Are you having a good time here?
Yes.
Yes?
I don't want this summit to end.
You don't want it to end. All right, well, I don't blame you. I mean, a really amazing, amazing time. And Megan, I hope you're having fun here at the summit. And congratulations on the award. And you've got a beautiful voice. And I hope you keep singing.
Thank you.
So I'm with another REACH scholarship recipient, Melissa Simpson, who's an extraordinary young woman. I got to meet here at the summit a couple days ago, maybe, and we shared an experience today where we went to Mandy Harvey's workshop. You know, I've already commented on the workshop on a previous post, and it was one of the most powerful, impactful experiences that I've had here at the summit. But I really want to get your impression on what you experienced while you were there, and how Mandy touched you in a way that maybe you hadn't been before.
They played on her phone. They played songs that meant a lot to me, and they played one that really stood out to me. It's called.
Is it one of her songs, or was it one of the other ones? Because she played a Journey song, More Than a Feeling. There was the Journey song. Yeah, what was that? Dum-dum-dum-dum. It was a good Journey song, but it was rock, so you know that song.
Yeah.
And how old are you?
Don't
Stop Believing. Don't Stop Believing, that's it. But how old are you?
27.
That song was written before you were born. How do you know that song?
My mom's music.
Yeah, mom's a Journey fan. But that's a great song, right? Yeah, and so she played that song and had us all feel the music as opposed to just hear it, right? So how were you feeling the music?
I was feeling the music through my chair and the vibration on the floor. I would slide forward. Yeah. And I would put my bare feet on the floor.
You had your feet on the floor. I saw that. What about, was there a drum beside you?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes, there was a drum. Yeah. And I closed my eyes and I felt the vibration through that.
Yeah, so it was like a percussion drum, not like a drum kit, but it was like a conga drum. It was up off the floor. So the vibration of the music went from the speaker up through the drum, and you could feel it over on the canvas of the drum and your feet on the floor. You're just feeling the whole thing, right? Okay, well, that was amazing. Everybody starts to walk out and everything. Really cool, really fun. And then I saw you, and I connected with you, and you were clearly feeling that whole experience. And then talk me through the rest of it.
I have a passion for music, and Mandy brought it out in a different way that I never thought was possible.
Yeah.
Mandy is deaf. She has inspired me that my senses are perfect, but she's also inspired me in a way that tells me that I don't need my ears, that I can do stuff without my senses.
Yes.
It's like one sense. And use sign language or use stuff to communicate. And I love music, and that's one way that she taught me to do.
Yes.
She taught me the vibration.
There's no restrictions, right? Because music can flow through you in so many different ways, right? Okay, so when you came over, though, I just want listeners to feel what I felt when I watched this happen with you. You went through this moment where you allowed your emotions to hit you in a way and express them into Mandy. And, you know, it broke you down, it looked like, in a powerful way, right? And I watched you just cry and release yourself on to Mandy. She hugged you so, so deeply. One of the most precious parts of the whole thing is when you realized that this was an intense moment. You said, "I'm sorry, Mandy. I'm sorry that I'm doing this." And Mandy, what'd she say to you?
"It's okay. We all cry. We all have emotion."
Yeah. And don't apologize for it.
Don't
apologize for loving, because that's what you were doing. You were feeling love and you were letting it go, right? You are a beautiful human being, Melissa.
Thank you.
And I'm privileged to have met you and witnessed that with you and shared that experience with you today.
Thank you.
And I feel like you provided me a gift today. So thank you.
For this time, it's good.
Yes. Yes, let's hug it out. Thank you. We're going to have a good time tonight, right? Okay.
Thanks to all of you for listening to our podcast. We know that you have a lot of choices about how you can spend your time, and so we appreciate you spending it with us. If you enjoy this podcast, we encourage you to subscribe to it, share it, and give us a review. Show notes can be found at nobarrierspodcast.com. Special thanks to the Dan Ryan Band for our intro song, which is called Guidance. The production team behind this podcast includes producers Diedrich Jonk and Pauline Schaefer, sound design, editing, and mixing by Tyler Cotman, graphics by Sam Davis, and marketing support by Laura Baldwin and Jamie Donnelly. Thanks to all you amazing people for the great work you do. Our minds, they are changing.